No? Hello? Hello? I might have accidentally shut it off. Hello? Hello?
Maybe I shut it off. There we go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for this new day. I thank you for your daily bread. I thank you for these saints that have come. I thank you, God, that they have come to worship you on your Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We're going to pray a prayer in Proverbs 11. Let's turn to Proverbs 11. It's always good to pray the word. Amen. You can't lose when you pray the word. And if you run out of your own words, you just start praying in the Spirit. Amen. And that God takes over utterances that man can't understand. 11:30, hallelujah. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you for wisdom. It's a gift. It's listed as a gift in 1 Corinthians. I thank you for wisdom, God. I thank you for this opportunity to bring your light, the light of your word, in illuminating our lives and helping us see the next step that we are to take in you. I thank you for these fall holy days that are so awesome. God, I thank you that you brought us great revelation and wonderful things. May we always treasure them in our hearts forever. And I thank you for a vision so that we can see you. God, I thank you for a hope and a future and for this message that you've given me. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right. We're about to experience a growth, folks. Things that are alive grow, amen? Amen. Amen. Are we ready for growth? We better be, because it's coming. I feel it in my bones, and the Lord has told me that things are, because we're alive, we will grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. The title of this message is called Effective Witnessing. Effective Witnessing. As people come in, we want to be effective in representing our God, amen? We are ambassadors to him, and we represent him. And we want to make the testimony of God attractive because he is attractive. He's a wonderful, beautiful God. And if we represent him in any other way, then we're aligning the word of God, amen? And we need to always carry ourselves in a manner of which we are. And we're children of God, priests of his kingdom to come that will last forever and ever. Amen. All right, turn to 2 Peter 1, please. 2 Peter 1. I've read these scriptures before, but I'm going to read them again. Paul often reminded us of things. Can never get too much of the word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter 1. We're going to read 1 through 8. Second Peter 1, 1 through 8. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace to be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises. Hallelujah. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Let me pause right there. The reason God had us say these over again, like goodness and to goodness knowledge, is talking about building on a foundation of these things. Amen? So until one thing is established, you need to wait till it's established and then move on and keep building. Amen? Hallelujah. God builds us. All right, verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So right there, that verse, verse 8, tells us that we can be effective. Amen? And will keep us from being ineffective if we have these characters in us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We must have these attributes listed. They are knowledge. Excuse me. First is goodness. Then knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Amen. They are similar to the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22. Let's go ahead and go there. Galatians 5:22. I wasn't going to, but the gifts of the Spirit are always worth reading. We need to know the gifts that God brings us. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against this thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have been crucified, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Hallelujah. I went a little farther than I wanted to, but that's all right. I couldn't help but notice why the word, you know, wisdom is not listed on either of the scriptures that I mentioned, but it is listed in the fruits of the Spirit. Excuse me. These are the I got my notes. I'm not looking at my paperwork here, folks. Sorry. Anyway, in 2 Peter 1:1-8, wisdom is not listed. And in Galatians 5:22, wisdom is not listed. But it says, let's turn to Proverbs 4:7. Proverbs 4:7 does talk about wisdom. Proverbs 4:7. Hallelujah. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. So wisdom is said to be supreme. God answered, when I looked at another verse, the last 8 words of Matthew 11:19. Let's go to Matthew 11:19. Matthew 11:19. The last 8 words are, but wisdom is proved right by your actions. Wisdom is proved right by our actions. Amen. Even though wisdom is not listed in 2 Peter 1:1-8, nor in Galatians 5:22, it is listed in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to read verse 8. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. These are the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are working all these are the work of one of the one and same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Hallelujah. So the gift, wisdom is listed as a gift of the Spirit. Amen. I thank God for wisdom. You know, we're hungry hearts and we're hungry for God. Because this ministry's main focus is on a personal relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, we have learned how to commune or tabernacle with our God. Have we had awesome fall feasts or not? Amen. Did God not visit us? Did He not take us to the sea of glass? Did He not give us the word and visions and revelations? Praise the Lord. He is the revelator. Hallelujah. In doing so, He has revealed wisdom and knowledge upon us and given us all these things, visions and dreams and mysteries of His word. And we talk to Him. It's called prayer. Amen. You don't have a relationship with someone if you don't talk to Him. So the more we talk to God, the better. You know, a praying man stops sinning, but a sinning man stops praying. We always need to be we need to be praying people, because we're the ones that talk to God, and we keep that relationship going. Hallelujah. That's what our whole purpose is to get to know our Lord and God. We abide in Him. That means we hang around with Him all the time. He's our best friend. Amen? Amen. In doing so, He has revealed wisdom and knowledge. We have seen His face. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to Job 38. It's just before Psalms. Job 38. And we're going to read verse 36. You know, have you heard the word endowment? That's a deposit made for in the name of someone, or it's and God, listen to this verse. Job 38:36. Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? It is our Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen, Jesus the Messiah. He's the one that endows us. It's a trust, a living God. Hallelujah. He calls us friend because He reveals His heart and His ways to us. Turn to John 15. John 15, please. Hallelujah. John 15, and we're going to read verses 9 through 15. Praise God. 9 through 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now let's look at verse 14 real close. You are my friends if you do what I command. That's what makes us His friend. Amen. Verse 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Hallelujah. God withholds no good thing from us. And the more we're in His presence, the more He reveals. He is the revelator. Hallelujah. And I am learning as I spend more time with Him that I am being like that awakening to you, that song we sang earlier. We are all awakening all the time to Him, because His mysteries are unsearchable. His ways are above our ways as the heavens are from the earth. There's so much to learn and take in. I don't care if you're in your 60s like me, or 70s, or 80s, or 90s. It doesn't matter how old you get. You are still in need of wisdom and knowledge, because it's unsearchable. Hallelujah. God help me if I ever think I've arrived, because I'm not going to arrive till I get there. Hallelujah. Turn to James 2:23, please. Abraham was called God's friend. Turn to James 2. James 2 and verse 23. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. He was called God's friend. Why? Because he did what God said. Why? Because he talked to him. God revealed things to him. You know, if you don't know, when you get to know somebody, you have a new friend, you learn all kinds of neat things. People have such neat stories. We don't need to be closed off to other people. We need to listen. And there's so many neat things, and everybody has an experience. And there's no experience like knowing your Yeshua HaMashiach in a personal manner. Amen? Hallelujah. Moses also turned to the Torah, Exodus 33:11. Exodus 33:11. God has lots of friends. He wants to be your friend if you're listening and don't know him. Exodus 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with a friend. Amen. You know, I love calling and talking to pastor, but I like it better when I'm here face to face with him. Amen. When I can actually hug him and let him know that we're working together. And I thank God for his smile. He has a great smile. All of you do. Smiles are great. Amen. Need to exercise our jaws to a smile. Just hallelujah. Yeah, I love food. Let's all smile. Hallelujah. With these awesome revelations, we must be careful, though, not to get big heads and think we are superior in our standing with God. You know, the ground is level at the cross. Amen. We are more trained. We are more blessed, I believe, but we're not any better than anyone else. The reason I mention this, because we're going to get some, you know, we have to be humble. When we think we are the only ones who have it all together, we need only to turn to Scripture for correction. Turn to Romans 12, please. Romans 12. Romans 12. Tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. It's in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Each one of us has a measure of faith. Thank God for faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to have open ears to what God has to say. Amen. Now, the word, go to Romans 3:9-10. Go back to Romans 3:9-10. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Wow, that's kind of... But really, no one really seeks God to the measure that we are able to. We're all trying to. But God made a charge that Jews and Gentiles are all alike, are all under sin. And now, and then there's Isaiah 64. Go to Isaiah 64. I don't mean to pop our balloons, you know. we do have much in the Lord, and we're very grateful. I love the worship this morning. There was a lot of joy. You know, we're full of the joy of the Lord right now in heavy measure because we just came off such wonderful fall feast days. I want to maintain that joy. You know, sometimes we let it slip away, and we need to always remember. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Hallelujah. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteousness acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Isaiah 64, verse 6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and our righteousness, acts are like filthy rags, and sin, you know, sweeps us away, it says in the end. God keeps us from being swept away, though. Hallelujah. He's going to take us away. Amen. Some even make their faith or their denomination. Let's see. Some people make their faith or denomination an idol. They have more faith in their faith than they do in their God. That's scary. And I've seen it. People get so devoted to their denomination, they forget where the very thing of faith is, where God is. The Pharisees loved flaunting their faith. They didn't love God or live the truth in their lives. You must live the truth. We must have a right heart. Let's brag on Yeshua, amen? Like that song we sang this morning, all he's done for me. I saw the joy rise up in a number of you. Because when we just think of what he's done for each one of us individually, he delivered me from alcoholism, from serious depression, from confusion, from so many things. He is the lifter of my head, and I'm going to stay on the path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't care how narrow it gets, you're not going to budge me off. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Jeremiah. Nine. I'm turning here myself, so sometimes I just write it down in my paperwork and I don't, but it's better if I turn there. That way I know I've given y'all enough time. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast on his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast on his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this. And right here, folks, is where it's at. That he understands and knows me. Woo! Hallelujah. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on this earth. For in these I delight. God delights in these things. Amen. That we know and understand him. Are we a listening people? Now turn to 1 Corinthians 1, please. 1 Corinthians 1. And we're going to go to verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1. We're going to read 26 through 31. You know, God has brought us all a long way. Amen? Yeah. I'm telling you. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by your human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chooses the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. He is our wisdom. He has become our wisdom. Hallelujah. Let's read that again. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus in the first place, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. It's his righteousness, it's his holiness, it's his redemption, it's his wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God gives us. Or verse 31. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to boast on my God. You know, my word at Feast of Tabernacles, the Lord gave me a word personal. It said, he gave me the word proclaim. And declare. Proclaim and declare. And I'm going to proclaim the awesomeness of our God, the power of our God, and I will declare it over and over. And I'm praying for listening ears. I thank God that they gave us two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice more than we speak. Amen. Hallelujah. Rather than shooting off, you know, we're going to have some new people coming in. I think I missed it up here. Whoops. I think I missed that up here in my notes, but rather than shooting off the wheels of other Christians' theology apple carts, let's show the alternatives to holidays and show how fun and fulfilling keeping the holy days are. Amen? Let's not just bash the holidays. Let's just tell them how great the holy days are. Share what we all have in common, remembering where we all came from. The reason I'm talking about all this is due to Richard Reeves' outreach that we are bringing to the public. Both Hungry Hearts churches are about to experience growth. As people come in, we need to not bombard them with our vast knowledge. I believe it was already spoken. You know, these things are so wonderful and so awesome. We just want to, man, we want to get them, let them know so they won't leave before they understand. But see, God has to do the increase. We seed and we water, but only God causes the increase. Hallelujah. As people come in, you know, as people come in, we just need to love them and listen to them. And like I said earlier, everybody has a story to tell. Let's hear, you know, we don't know their story, and it's interesting to listen. Let's just enjoy the service, dance. As, you know, on the Sabbath, we should address our attire in a better way. We should, because it's God's time. Now, Erev Shabbat, when we have Friday night, it's a little more laid back. We don't quite dress up as much. But us leaders, all of us leaders, really should dress well on Erev Shabbat or Sabbath, because you never know when a new person comes in. I always try to wear dress pants and a nice shirt at least on Erev Shabbat. Sometimes I've gotten busy on Friday before Sabbath and I've gone in with my jeans, but I'm going to try not to do that. Because it's just good to represent God in the right way. We want to make his message attractive, amen, and his people attractive. Do we condemn others because they don't believe just like we do? Doesn't the word say that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus? Let's not condemn them. We both serve the same Jesus. You know, they're coming to know God, and I believe that people come in, know his name. And they are coming, they don't come to us unless they're really hungry. I believe that. And I believe it's just the devil that gets them thinking the wrong way before. We need to let the Holy Spirit take over. See, when people come in and they see the love of God, they'll know we're his disciples, because the word says that people will know they are my disciples by the love they have one for the other. We are even supposed to love our enemies, those that unrightfully abuse us, speak evil of us. We're to love them too. Because I remember one time, several times, I cursed people of God. I was asked to go to a Bible study, and I cursed the guy out. I was drunk on wine coolers, and I did it more than once. He told me, come to this Bible study. I said, you blankety blank and all this. And I had the Spirit all right, but it wasn't the Spirit of God. But he was persistent. He kept asking me. And I ended up going to that very same Bible study, and it changed my life. And what's really funny is I went with a bad motive. I went just to pick up a nice girl. I thought, hey, I won't go to a bar this time. I'll pick some girl up at a Bible study, a girl that's a little nicer. That was my motive. I'll be honest with you. I'm behind the pulpit. I better be honest, huh? But I went into this Bible study. I was kind of eyeing the women there some night. Because, see, this was a single parent Bible study. This man knew I was divorced, knew I was depressed. And he kept inviting me to this Bible study, and I kept, you know, cussing him out. But anyway, I went in, and I was looking at this girl, and we became friends, Gene and I both. And later when I met Gene, I didn't know Gene at this time. I got to eyeing her, and I was kind of, you know, moving closer to her, and I sat next to her, and I was going to come on to her. And I did. And I tell you what, you don't want to, this lady literally just chopped me like Beverly would. I'm telling you, this lady come at me and said, look, I'm here to receive the word of God. I'm here to hear what this, you know, and I ain't messing around. So just pay attention, you know. And it shocked me. She was rougher than any woman I met in the bars, you know. I thought, good golly, this woman must have come from a bar herself, you know. But anyway, she got me to listen, and I started listening to the word. And what does faith come by? I started listening. See, I was raised Catholic. I didn't know all this stuff that you could act, that God wasn't, you know, I thought God was way past, you know, the chain of command. He was way past the priests, the nuns, the Monsignor, the Pope, bishops, and on up. And I thought God was way out there somewhere, but then I found out he can be in your heart. And I never read the Word, even though we were told in 1965, I believe it was, that we could read the Word. Of course, they already programmed us not to read the Word. And when we had a question, they're the ones that had to answer it. When we did read the Word and we did go to a priest, you know, it's interesting how the Word brings such truth. Amen. And then when I read, you don't call anyone Father on earth, you know, the only mediator between us and Yahweh God is Yeshua. Amen. And I used to go to confession, and really, things are out of order in this world, are they not? God brings us, though, into all truth. His Holy Spirit brings us into all truth. Praise the Lord. I lost my notes, got off on a rabbit trail, but that's all right. It was a good rabbit. All right. We must not condemn their beliefs or their church. I am going to say right now, I am not ever going to announce a certain, put down a church in the pulpit. Because all churches, I've even said, in the church I grew up in had some good things I learned. A fear of God, respect for things that are holy, and a lot of good things. So I'm not going to put down any faiths. Jesus never judged while he was on earth. Is that true, Coleman? Jesus never judged while he was on earth? Yeah, it's true. Turn to John. John 12. And see what he said. These are red letter words. Although he is the judge, when he was on earth, this is what he said. John 12, verses 47 through 50. Let's see. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. He did not come. Listen to the next verse, verse 48. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that His command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. So he only spoke what the Father told him to say. And the Lord, the Father God told him how to say it. And that's what I pray for myself as an elder and preacher of the word, that I would speak what I'm told to say and how to say it. Amen. We just need to not put people down. We all have to remember where we all came from. Turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Sometimes, we know we need to read this scripture more than once. We all have logs, amen. Got logs. We all have things that are in the way of helping other people. And big things that get in the way of really, that we need to address and ask God to take away from our hearts, the evilness. Hearts are evil until God takes over your heart. He puts a new heart, like Ezekiel said, a new heart of flesh. One that's pliable and not hard. We don't need to be hard-hearted. Let's answer their question in love. And if we don't know the answer, tell them, we will get back to them on it. You know, when these new people come in, like I said, let's not bombard them with our vast knowledge, which we do have. But we need just to love them, listen to them. And when they do have a question, let them give us questions rather than us giving them questions. And if we don't know, don't pretend. Don't make up there's times I think I'm real knowledgeable, but I still need to learn so much. And if I don't know an answer, if I don't know that I know that I know, I'm going to tell them I don't know, but I'll talk to our founding pastor, or I'll ask God to help me and I'll give you an answer. But we need to get back to them when we say that. We need to back everything up with Scripture and not our opinions. Back everything we say up with Scripture and not our opinion. I've been learning to do that. That way they can't argue with you because it's God's Word. Amen. Hallelujah. I like what Kelly said. Opinions are like armpits. Almost everyone has two of them, but they both stink. I'll never forget that. That was so cool. That was funny. I like funny. God's funny. He created the platypus and the some other funny animals, man. You just look at nature. God is so awesome. The manatee, think about it. It's like me when I'm in the water, you know, and I'm floating in the salt water. I probably look like a manatee. Hallelujah. But God's salt keeps us up, amen. We are to be a salt in the world. Salt is a preservative. We're to preserve God and all that He has and represent Him. And have the light of God, that when people see us, they see the light in our eyes. They see our sparkle in our step. And they just see something about us and they want it. And that's what we need to be. People that exhume our God. So full of God that it can't help but pour out. And a lot of times, I'm not even close to that. I'm like a dark cloud sometimes. But there's other times I've been enlightened, and we let our lights go out sometimes. Amen. But we can't let it go out. God fans the flame within us. Get back in the Spirit. And pastor's already talked about this, about attire on the Sabbath. Hallelujah. We are greatly blessed in what God has revealed to us, but we all have much to learn. Jeremiah 33:3. Turn to there. Jeremiah 33:3. Yep. God is nothing but good. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." That's applicable no matter what age you are, folks. He will show us unsearchable things. He's taken me up into the heavens. He's taken a number of you up there. And we'll never forget that. We can't even explain it verbally, even emotionally. But once you experience God, there ain't no going back. Romans 11. Turn to Romans 11. Romans 11, and we're going to read verse 33, one verse. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. You know, there are a lot of churches that say, well, we know the way, we know the whole way. We know how, from point A to point Z. And we'll map it out for you. You don't know, you don't understand about the Trinity, then I'll tell you. Well, they're wrong, but anyway. Everything they think, it's already mapped out. But it says right here in that scripture, doesn't it? His path beyond tracing out. You're not going to make that path yourself. You walk it day by day. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Spend a lot of time in God's Word. Talk to Him. He's your friend. And as you talk to Him and you get more friendly with Him, He will reveal some things that are just get you shaken. And I'm so excited about my next message. Whew. I almost dropped this message to bring you the one I'm going to have because it was one of them. Whoa! You know, one of those. And the name of it is... Shake the snake off into the fire. I won't say any more, but it's going to be awesome. Because God revealed some really cool things to me. Hallelujah. God is shaking the world up, isn't He? But it's all right. We're going to be all right because we serve Him. We do know the path, but we are ever learning, just as every other believer is. Why should we witness? How should we witness? Turn to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So we are to encourage with great patience. Last time we had some new men come in our church down in Corinth, I literally smothered them because I didn't want someone else to get in there and tell them stuff before I did. But I should have just kept the other person from telling them so much and just say, let them go. Enjoy, you know. And we can't just smother people when they come in. We do have some great things. Man, we want to tell everybody how great Yeshua is and all the neat stuff about his Torah, about his covenant love. Amen. But we're to have great patience and careful instruction, not just throw it out there. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter 3, please. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, and we're going to read verses 15 and 16. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Didn't say to give an answer to those who are just sitting there not asking you anything. It says here they're going to ask you questions. If we keep talking about how much we know, how are they going to ask us a question about what they need to know? We know, well, what we have to say is more is what they really need to know. No, what the question they have for you is the question they need answered. You know? Hallelujah. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Wow. Now, you know, we had great patience and careful instruction. Now it's gentleness and respect. So these are the ways we effectively witness. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I wish we were as patient as the Lord. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And we're going to read Ephesians 4, 29, all the way through 5, 2. Ephesians 4, starting with verse 29. Giving you a lot of word today, and that's good. Can't get too much word. Ephesians 4, 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. You know, the word malice is, I'll stop right there before verse 32. The word malice really comes from the word malign. We don't malign. That means getting them off the path. You malign means you take them away from the line they need to be on. 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Fragrant means it smells good. Amen. Amen. So here we are to be kind, compassionate, forgiving, living a life of love, have gentleness, have respect, have great patience, and careful instruction. All these things, the last three scriptures I've given you has all these things in them. Not everyone will receive the truths we have come to know. Not everyone's going to accept it. That's okay. Turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 11 through 16. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5, 11 through 16. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You know, the Bible says, woe to those that call evil good and good evil. And Paul talked about someone being forever cursed for if they preach any other gospel than what you've been presented. The trouble is, the gospel they've been presented is not what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about what he has presented, church after church, the same teaching. And that's been pointed out in this ministry already. Paul preached the same thing in every church. And it is not to be condemned. People have the wrong idea. They're calling evil good and good evil. All right, what was I at? 11 through 16. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, people are watching our walk. We are to be a light. I thought of the menorah when it was talking about let your light shine before men. But before that, in verse 15, about putting it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. That's what our menorah represents. The servant branch in the center is the light of the world. Amen. We're to be a salt, preserve God's truth, and be a light. Hallelujah. There will be some contention. We must witness in the ways I have said, but we must stand our ground as far as what we believe. We must not argue. All we can do is see. God causes increase. When people are not willing to change or accept the presentations we're about to bring to them, they are not rejecting us. They are rejecting the truth. And God is truth. We don't like contention or people coming against us. But contention is a precursor to change. So it's okay. We can have a little bit of controversy. Let's just not be like them, and instead of reacting, we need to respond. That's different. You know, when it's quick, it's react, but when we respond, it's wait a minute, because we can be just as evil in our return as it came in. Amen. And instead of lashing out, we need to just count to 10. Count to the 10 commandments. It's a precursor to change. There will be those who just cannot receive the truths yet. Those are the ones who are ever learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. But in the end, everyone will know the truth. It's all about love. Turn to John 3:16. Yes, I'm still preaching John 3:16. Has nothing to do with wrestling either. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I'm going to go ahead and read through 18. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. You have to believe. Amen. Now go to 1 John. We're going from John to 1 John. First John 4. And we're going to read verses 7 through 21. I'm giving you a lot of word today. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Let me pause there for a moment. Wait a minute, Coleman. He said you've seen God. says here, no one has seen God. You know, that's talking about in the flesh. God's not going to have any dirty flesh in his presence, amen? But when we're in the Spirit, we can see God. And there's too many places in the Bible, I won't even go there, God has revealed his face to many people, amen, in the Spirit. Praise God. I got to read through verse 21. Not even close yet. Verse 13. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. There it is again. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. Ooh, wow. We are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I think I've pretty much pointed out that we need to love people, especially one another in the faith, amen? And we must be holy. Wait, I've got ahead of my notes here, wait a minute. All right. God loves us so much that he wants us all as his children. Turn to 1 John 3. Go back to just one chapter. We're close already. It's not going to take long. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. The revelation that God gave Pastor Bill about being the sons of God. That's an awesome thing. I have to read verse 2. I can't see because my eyes are watered. And that is what we are. We're children of God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall all see him as he is. I'm going to read verse 3 anyway. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. When we see the pureness of God and the holiness of God, it makes us have conviction and it makes us change. Makes us teshuvah, return. Makes us want to be pure. And we consecrate ourselves to be holy like our Lord. It has to be done, though, in his strength, his power, by keeping our eyes on him, talking to him. Amen. Do you know why we must witness for God? Turn to Matthew 28. Why must we witness for God? It's because we're commanded to. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It doesn't say go and make people say the Lord's Prayer, which is important, though. You need to voice what you believe. You need to say the sinner's prayer aloud in front of witnesses. But, you know, churches are making a lot of decisions, but not a lot of disciples. And so we are to make disciples. And that requires discipline. The word is rooted in the word discipline, disciple. And a lot of people don't like discipline. They don't want to be told what to do. And see, we don't have to worry. God is going to, you know, lovingly ease them into truth. The devil unlovingly eases us into lies. He's very crafty, but we are to be aware of his wiles, the wiles of the devil. We are to be as innocent as doves, yet as wise as snakes. Wow. You know, we're not snakes. Thank God. If we were, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on. God just gave me that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But we do. You know, I believe in the garden when God cursed the devil. God cursed the snake. He said, you will crawl on your belly. I believe the snake had legs at one time, and God chopped them off. The devil has no legs to stand on. Hallelujah. He's lost the case. He has no legality. Hallelujah. And we must be holy. Well, we are commanded to preach the word. We preach the kingdom of God. It's the reason Yeshua came to earth. Turn to Luke 4. Luke 4. Luke 4. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Those are red letter words. God was sent to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, his kingdom. That's what we're to do. We must be holy. Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Woo! You want to see the Lord, then you have to be holy. That means being like Yeshua. That means keeping his commands. And we have to teach sound doctrine. Turn to Titus. Titus is right before Hebrews, so you don't have to worry about trying to find it. Titus isn't very long, but it's right before Hebrews, I believe. Yeah. No, well, there's Philemon in between, or Philemon, but it's close. Well, Titus, who must teach sound doctrine. Titus 2. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. That's how I pray that for me and for all of us. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers, or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing to say about you, about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God and Savior attractive. Like I said, we're supposed to make the teaching of God attractive. On your workplace, you are to live in a way that makes what the way you say you live attractive to others. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. We can be authoritative when we're speaking God's word because it comes from him. Hallelujah. Verse 10 talks about teaching about making the teaching about God attractive. I already told you that. Titus 1, verse 9. Titus 1, verse 9. I wasn't supposed to read the whole chapter 2, but I did. I don't know. It's all right. Titus 1, 9. We must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. We're to encourage others with sound doctrine. And we are to come against those that would come against God. But do it in the right way. Titus 3. I'm almost out of time. Titus 3. Help me, Lord. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. Right there. We're not to return evil for evil. To slander no one. Be peaceable and considerate. And to show true humility toward all men. Doesn't that have to do with effective witnessing? At one time, we too were foolish. Oh, really? Yeah. Duh. Disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice, again, maligning. And envy, being hated and hating one another. Isn't there a lot of holy wars out there? I'm so tired of people believing that Christians are violent. That is not what we are, if we're really, truly Christian. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law. Really? Because these are unprofitable and useless. You know, we're just going to give them the truth, tell them the law is not done away, and they'll have been taught different. We need not get angry. But we are to warn a divisive person once, verse 10, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them, with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. Those are the ones that are so stuck on evil that you have to unplug the computer. They have to be reprogrammed. Then you can reboot them. We want to boot them before their computer. We can't boot them. We can't shoot them. We have to love them. Hallelujah. There are ways to conduct yourself around other people. Philippians 1:27, and I'm going to have to end with that probably. I'm going to try to take the full time though because I need it. You know, there was a time when I said I'll never use all that time. Pastor's crazy. I can't talk that long. But, you know, I find out it isn't long enough sometimes. Philippians 1, 27 through 30. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. The Bible tells us not to be afraid of their faces, people that we can look people in the eye because we have the truth of God. Continuing in verse 28. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God, or saved by God. Verse 29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. You know, we're going to have some struggles, but it's okay. God gets us through all our trials. Amen? Without tests, though, you have no testimony. So we need tests. It's okay. That's what makes us who we are. We struggle not with people, but with the enemy of our souls. Pray that everyone will be led to conviction. Conviction is a gift of God. When we point out to Christians the pagan practices they have fallen prey to, we could make them feel guilty. The devil is the only one who is guilty. The devil loves guilty, so we won't go there. Let's end this message with Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I got about that much time. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Help me, Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything is exposed by the light, becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I'm sorry, did I not read the right verse? I'm in 5. Woo, that's good verses though. We're going to have even better verses. Now we're going to go to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. God's word is good all over. I mean, you know, you go to the wrong place, it's okay. Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We got a work to do. God, we can do it with God's help through him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.